Welcome to Love Quirks, the relationship and love podcast about sparking your connections and understanding the big picture of love. If you're neurospicy, kind of quirky, or just a regular old human wanting to spark your relationships with more connection, more love, more acceptance, and more understanding, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Crystal Clark. Join my quirky crew on your journey to being sparked forever, because no one is normal and all love quirks. Welcome to our love space today. Hope you are starting off your week or your day or wherever you are in life in a good way. It was interesting. This past weekend, I was eavesdropping on, we were house sitting for my sister-in-law, and I was eavesdropping on a conversation of a couple that was like kind of, we're in like a vacation resorty town and they're kind of out and about and packing up. And anyways, it was interesting because it was a couple and like their friends. And one of the people from the couple had found some item that they were packing up, and that the language they used when they were talking about this item really intrigued me. So one person was asking questions about this item, like it was something they didn't expect to see there. And they're like, oh, did we bring this here? When did we do that? What did we need it for? Okay. And then the other person who was, I think one of their friends, answered and said, oh, last time we saw you guys, you forgot it. And so we thought we'd just bring it up, you know, on vacation for the weekend so that we could hand it off to you, was the gist of it. And then the person goes, oh, he forgot it last time. And did kind of a groany sigh kind of thing. Okay. So I could tell that they were annoyed by this fact, but the difference in not just the tone of voice and the fact that you could hear the growl, but the difference in the messaging, just between using the word, did we bring this? Did we do this? Did we? And then as soon as it was clear, or maybe clear to that person, that someone could be singled out for forgetting this item on another occasion, the pronoun for that person was brought in. He forgot it. And that just really stood out very strongly for me, because it really made it clear that at one point, that person was talking about their significant other, about their love of their life, as though they were on a team. Well, did we forget it? Did we bring this? I wonder why we made that choice, right? Okay. Two, the big picture idea of now someone could be singled out for it. So the way that little word, using we versus he or she or they, right? Just that little change in, oh, I'm talking about us as a team, to now singling a person out and not being a part of the team. It really stood out to me in that moment. Now, I know that that is something that I personally use in my relationship with the love of my life. And I actually tend to, I thought that when we were first together, I would be like, oh, we forgot to put out the garbage. And he felt actually very singled out that I would say we, because he thought I was using more of the royal we, like I am, you know, using the word we, but actually accusing you of forgetting the garbage. And so we had to have a communication about this. We had to send and receive some messages about how I was using the we. Now, again, my brain very easily goes to that automatic teamwork piece. And so I luck out a lot of times in that way. There's other things that I have to work more on or that are more difficult for me in relationships. But that teamwork collaboration piece comes a bit more easily to me. Not after some work and some tweaks and some things like that, because we all have things to work and tweak on. Like not over people pleasing in being a good collaborator, because that doesn't actually make you a good collaborator. Anywho, I digress. So in my personal relationship, I would say like but what I was intending and what we had to have the communication about is that when I was using we, it's because like say, hey, for example, in our relationship, the task of taking out the garbage is on the my love of life's list of chores to do. So we have a few chores that we don't really share because one of us really doesn't like it or whatever. So we kind of, help each other out with that. If like one person hates it and the other person is like, nah, I don't hate it, then, we kind of trade off like that. But even though it's kind of one person's chore, that doesn't still mean it's not like a teamwork thing. Because if I notice that it's garbage day and the garbage is not taking out, then I might want to kindfully, don't forget this is kindfully, kindfully, let the person know, let the love of my life know, like, hey, it's garbage day. I might want to mention it. I might want to be like, oh, did you take the garbage out yet? I wasn't sure. I didn't see. Or like, oh, the garbage is still here. But if he's already gone and I notice that it's garbage day and the garbage is not out, then I might have to pick up the not even not pick up the slack. I might have to do it just because that's part of life. And sometimes we make oopses on the jobs that we are supposed to follow through on, and the other person has to pick up a little bit, and vice versa, because that happens to all of us. So, I was using the we in that case because I'm probably like, well, maybe there, it's part of my responsibility to maybe mention it, to be on the same page as that person, or to maybe help out with that. So if the garbage is forgotten, I do feel that it's a we forgot it. Now that could change depending on how you work out those kind of everyday things. Okay, so I know that I do it in my relationship, but and then when I saw this couple do it or this one person report on their coupleness and it really stood out to me, I was like, you know what? Probably there is actually a bigger basis to this. So that's what we're going to dive into today. Is it actually important to use we? What does it say about our relationship and how can maybe we implement it more in our everyday? So there's actually a big study done in 2018 that looked at compared a bunch of studies that had already been put out and done with couples, which is great because when they do a comparative study like that, you can really draw on a lot of participants and a lot of data. So what they looked at is that, or what they found when they compared all the studies, is that it actually really did matter when couples used the word we. It was actually amazingly important when couples used the word we. So that's an interesting thing to keep in mind. Okay. They found that the couples that used we when they talked about their joint experiences, and their times with each other and in the remembering of memories together, that they didn't necessarily themselves know the benefits or what they were doing, but they actually had significantly higher reports of happiness, and healthier relationships. Okay, so that's really interesting. They also found out that using we was just as valuable for men or women or both people in the relationship. So not just working for one person, but everyone found that sense of using the word we to bring connection and togetherness and that collaborative teamwork. Fantastic. So couples that used we just accidentally or were on purpose, they had higher relationship satisfaction, longer relationships on average. They also had more positive daily interactions. And we'll hop back to that in a second. And they had higher reports of mental health, physical health, and tended to have higher scores of just overall, that self-care, taking care of themselves, health quotient. Okay. So those are all pretty big things related to one tiny small word. Now, we can probably make the smart guess And if you went back and read, you know, probably through all of the journal articles, that perhaps couples that use the word we more often have some other things that are going on really well that allow them to use that word we freely and to not be scared of collaboration, right? Because I think sometimes when we want to use I a lot, we get a little lost in that idea that we might lose ourselves. So I had talked about that in the episode, Be Best Friends, a few episodes back. If you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that. Because I do talk about this idea that a lot of times, you know, in social media, in mainstream media, in the movies, and in things like that, we really, as a culture, have a concern that we're going to lose ourselves in a romantic relationship, that we will no longer be ourselves. And that goes towards other, you know, areas. And actually, it was interesting in another article that popped up on using we, is that they actually made a connection between using the word we and attachment styles and people. So coincidentally, when they're looking and then lined these up, right? People who use the word we and then what kind of attachment style did they have? They actually found that people who had anxious attachments or avoidant attachments tended to use the word we less when they talked about positive experiences or when they talked about their relationships. And that this was interesting because it was almost like a secret indicator of where people maybe were on their attachment styles that they might not report. You know, they might be like, oh, well, I always talk about I when I talk, right? People don't really notice and pick that up about themselves a lot of the time. So it could be that some of these big factors where I'm like, it can do this and this and this, there may be some other pieces that are joining in together that lead people to use the word we. But just like we know that if you are feeling a bit blah, if you're having a hard time, but you try to get your laughs in, you try to get your smiles in, that does signal to your brain that you are in a better emotional place. And then that allows you to have more natural, incidental smiles and laughs and lighter times. So it can go hand in hand. So, you know, I always like, you know, it's hard to know if the chicken or the egg is first, right? When things came into being. So, you know, it could be that people who have all of these other things going use we a lot, but hey, let's use we a lot. And maybe that will help us get the other things going, right? It's a small word. There is no harm in trying to use it. So the big picture idea that we can see from using such a small word is that it can help to create that sense of togetherness, that sense of teamwork, that sense of collaboration, right? And they also found connections to couples that tended to use it. Again, these are just overlying data points, but when they looked at couples who tended to have interdependent relationships, so not codependent, but interdependent relationships, they also tended to use the word we a lot. So to actually signifies, we might get stuck on it like, oh, they're always like, we. We actually might be getting stuck on we, you and me out there listening. Sometimes it might be that we're getting stuck on the too much on this idea of losing ourselves in our own personal place there. And so if that's the case, that you are worried about losing your personal identity by being in a relationship or joining with someone or being in a daily 24/7 teamwork project called a relationship or called a marriage, or called we're going to be together forever, you know, everyone's got their own thing going, then I think that's actually the smaller step you need to go back to. So, you know, I always talk about us working on things in kind of little steps and little increments. And, you know, for some people, we can jump into just working right on implementing, trying to use we more. And, you know, even if you're a person who's like, you know, I am afraid of losing myself, we can work on that piece. We might need to go back to that step while we start to use the word we more. Super important. We can do both of those things. But if we do feel that we are not confident that we are ourselves when we're in a relationship, then that's a piece that we can go work on. The other thing that's nice about we, and this is why I entitled the episode, I think it's a we for the win, because We can often use it when, and now I'm picking up on myself using it the whole time I'm talking to you guys. We can often use it in good times when we're successful, when we're talking about happy things. So, for example, like, oh, we planned a vacation. We did this thing. Now, if the vacation ends up being horrible, that's when we might get into a bit of the he said, she said, they said, whoever said kind of thing, right? Where it might be like, oh, he planned this part, or they bought tickets to this and it was horrible, or she did blah, 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 right? We might get into a bit of that calling out when the times are not as great. People be peopling, being humans out here, right? That's just, it's part of human nature. We're always trying to work it and tweak it, but that happens, right? Okay, so you cannot, not only can you use it when you talk about your successful times, but you can use it when you're problem solving, right? We need to work this out. We need to brainstorm some things that we can do next time this happens, right? You can use it in those contexts. So it's not just for our successes. It can also be used. We can use the word we when we're talking to each other about our oopses, our miscommunications, the things that we want to tweak, the things that we need to adjust, all of those things. So if you can talk as a team when things are hard, so this would be like more your advanced expert level, right? So start, if you're just a beginner with the we, start with using it for the successes and build on that. But if you are already doing that, then expert level stuff is going to be figuring out where you can, or not figuring out, trying to use it in times where it is difficult, where there is a bit of conflict, where we are working together to get through a big, tough moment or a difficult time or a difficult situation. That is expert level stuff right there. And if you're wanting to get to that expert level piece, and this is really a communication, kind of focused on our cake model, this would be the C, right? For our communication piece and a little bit the kindful piece too. I mean, that's always back there in the background, isn't it? So it's going to be working on, so that will be your expert level thing. But if you're not quite there, if you're wanting to work on this communication piece, then the first step is always to notice. It's always to notice. So that's one of the things. Are we using we? Are we not using we? I just told a story when we were out with friends and I used we. Great. I just did this thing and I totally called the person out. And I could have probably used we. Okay. So that's the next piece is just noticing which parts you may need to tweak. You might already be at that beginner level, at that, like, hey, I do use it most of the time when I'm talking about our shared experiences. I use the word we. Fantastic. But no, when we're in a bit of a disagreement, when we're needing to tweak things, when we're having a miscommunication, the yous and I's come out. Okay, well, how can we tweak that a little bit? Make it a little bit more we-centered and collaborative when we're doing these difficult, hard things. So that's the first piece of noticing that, what do we actually do when these moments come in? Okay. Now, obviously, adding it into real life is great. So you've noticed it, you're like, oh, we don't use it enough. Add it in 100%. Won't we all just like to wave a magic wand and add it in, right? That's hard. Change is hard, and you can't just always magically add things in. So sometimes we might need extra practice, which, when it comes to this kind of stuff, unlike going to, work out at the gym for a particular sport that's coming up where you're like, I have to get in shape for a blah, blah, blah sport that I'm really into, or practicing your musical instrument or rehearsing for a presentation you're going to give. Those all are a bit more normalized to us. What is not normalized is doing silly practice activities or interesting practice activities, however you want to feel about them, exciting practice activities, with your partner, with the love of your life at home, right? Some of us have been to counseling and have been to maybe relationship seminars and stuff like that, where we get to do it in a group, where we get to kind of do it with a professional who's guiding us through it. And that makes it feel less silly or awkward or odd, right? But here we go. I invite you to be awkward and odd and silly together and try something out. Do you know why? Because that also builds into your vulnerability. If you're like, look at us do this weird thing together, that is going to build. So here we go. So one of the things that you can do is you can play a game. This is going to be the Wii game, where no matter what you guys are talking about for the next 30 minutes, while you're making dinner together, while you're having breakfast together, while you're in a car ride somewhere together, could even, you know, make it 60 if you want. You could also even do it, or sorry, yeah, you can also even do it like the clothespin game. I don't know if any of you guys have been to baby showers or bridal showers, but they have this like cheesy game that you play old school bridal showers and baby showers, where you get little clothespins and there's like a couple secret words. Like if it's a bridal shower, you can't say wedding and you can't say the bride's name and you can't say gift and whatnot. And if someone catches you saying that word, they take your clothespin. So for people who are visual and who like a little competition and think that's fun and it's funny in their relationship, 100% go get some $1 clothes pegs, snap them to your sleeves or to the bottom of your shirt or wherever you're going to put them, and do a little clothes peg game of this, that for the next 30 or 60 minutes, you can't use the word you or I. You have to use the word we, even if it's going to be silly, even if it's kind of in the wrong context. And that's just to get it in there and get used to saying it. And it will probably also be funny because you'll have to use it kind of in the wrong context sometimes, right? Like you might have to say something funny like we need to go pee. I don't know, but there you go. So not using your personal pronouns. Another activity I like, and this can also have some other benefits, which I will get into in other episodes or other times, but I love to do the partner or love of my life Lego building activity. Now, this is great too. If you are a Lego fan, this is fantastic for you because this gives you guys as a partnership, as a collaborative team, a chance. Maybe, I know, you know, the world isn't great for money and things nowadays, but this gives you the chance to splurge on a bit of Lego or pick out a Lego set of, you know, your choosing that you're both going to be excited to build. So, and I have done this activity in real life with the love of my life more than one time, and it is fantastic and it always makes us laugh, and sometimes you need a glass of wine, but you know, to each their own. So you get a Lego set. It's nice if it's new because then it has all the little baggies and whatnot that are numbered. If you're not familiar with Lego, it usually comes with baggies that are numbered for each kind of the steps. And I usually say, like, you know, if it comes with 20 baggies, you guys can do like 2 a night or 3 a night or something like that, something reasonable. Because you want to keep this activity short to like 30 to 45 minutes. I think usually if it goes longer than 45, people's brains start to get worn out and then we might get snappy. And then that's kind of cancels out the point of this fun activity, is that it's supposed to be fun and enjoyable, or at least okay. Okay. So what you're going to do is you're going to get your Lego set. You're going to pick how many little baggies or how many pages you're doing in the booklet. You have all of the pieces. One person gets like a container or a cookie sheet or whatever we're putting the pieces in. They get the pieces. Okay. The other person gets the instruction book. Person with instruction book is going to use the word we for this activity, we, and is going to first tell the person the pieces they need for this step. So maybe there's 3 or 4 pieces they have to find. Okay. And that's also going to really work on your communication because you're going to have to describe the pieces. And the interesting thing you will find out is unless you guys are both super into Lego, you will both call the pieces different things. Like I would call it like a fat piece to mean one of the tall ones instead of one of the flatter ones. But the love of my life, he would call that like a double high or a thick piece or whatever. So we had to kind of figure out what we were naming the pieces and then remember that person's going to maybe name it that way. And instead of me correcting them, I could be flexible with the way they want to name it, right? And how many studs there are, how many dots, right? Some of the pieces get really confusing and complicated. You have to be like this one, and the person's only allowed to say no, and you're not allowed to point at the pieces. So it's like almost like the person who has the instructions is like blind to the pieces you're using until you show them, go, do you mean this piece? And they can say yes or no. If it's a no, they have to like re-describe it to you and not like it's in front of you in the box next to the green piece. No, they have to try to figure out, what more information can I tell them to help them figure this out? Okay. But in those instructions, you're going to use the word we. We need a green 4x4 flat piece. We need to put the gray 2x2 piece on top of the green flat piece. Now you can tell that I do this a lot with couples, also because I can give those examples pretty fast. But it will be such a fun activity, and it helps you practice your we. It also helps you. Again, this is like an activity that has so many facets across the cake model for us to work out, but. It works on so many great things, and it gives you like a fun activity to do. The third one, activity that you can do that practices using the we is kind of just taking turns to stop and share a memory, as in share a story. Like, remember the time we went for dinner and we did this and we did that, and then we saw that person, and then we. So even though that person might remember and they don't really need to hear the whole story, you are both going to get a turn telling your little wee story of a funny, romantic, loving, caring, thoughtful, whatever kind of memory, bonding experience memory that you want to share with each other. Now, again, all of these activities are great because they could all be twofers. All three of those activities can be done on our Mega Moment of Love, which is our word for date night here. If you haven't learned about Mega Moments of Love, I think that's one of our first episodes ever, maybe our second episode. So go back and 100% listen to our Mega Moments of Love one. It will change your date nights. It's so fantastic. So all of these can be twofers. They can all be a game or an activity to work on how we talk about ourselves using the word we, and also and also an activity for a mega moment of love, right? It's a twofer. Great. You know me. I love a good twofer. Right. And the other thing, and same thing with the memory one. I mean, the memory one is almost a threefer because we've also talked on this show about reminiscing, right? There's a whole episode I think I did on reminiscing and how talking about our shared love experiences with each other actually brings us closer, brings us more connection and bonding. And so if you're doing the memory sharing game, you're reminiscing, you're practicing using we, and it can be something you do on a mega moment of love. Or it can be something you do for like a mini moment of love while you're having breakfast. I don't know when you want to do it, but it's always great when we can double things up, especially when we're always also busy in life or we have many things to do. And it can feel like, adding energy into working on our relationship is impossible, but it's not impossible. It's 100% doable. It can be 100% fun. Sometimes then the beginning steps are a little hard. Right? But they don't have to be. And if, as I recommend, if we're destigmatizing doing this kind of work, then hopefully you are doing this when you are in a good place. If you are not, it's going to work for you as well. So, this one little word, using we, that is going to start to build the spirit of teamwork and collaboration and connection and being. A whole working unit of love together and bring you together that way. And that is going to keep you sparked. Thanks to my quirky crew for sharing this space and your connection time with me once again. It's really, truly appreciated. If you're new here, I hope this time sparked your love and relationship energy too, and that you'll be joining us again. If something sparked you today, connected with you, delighted you, do reach out. Find me on TikTok at sparked_forever or through my website, sparkedforever.com, to get your free copy of Cake Night, your mini guide to making date night sweeter. Don't forget to send some love out by leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Not only does this send me some love, but it helps others find us on their relationship journey. Until next time, be sparked.